KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's sunny and 68 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today, a high of 87 with a south breeze at around 10 to 20 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Well, here's the latest information from the state of Iowa's coronavirus website, or the COVID-19 dashboard, if you will. The IDPH says there are two more positive COVID-19 cases here in Cass County for a total of 102, and four more people have recovered from the virus for a total of 79. Adams County has two more cases for a total of 20. There were three more reported cases in Guthrie County for a total of 155. 13 additional positive cases in Pottawatomie County for a total of 1,484. And Shelby County has four more cases for a total of 203. Now, that was as of earlier this morning. And statewide, there have been an additional 703 positive test results for a total of 54,533. And 5,645 negative test results for a total of 516,223. That's a positivity rate of 9.3%. Now, officials say a total of 584,208 Iowans have been tested so far, and four more deaths were reported since 10 a.m. Thursday for a total of 1,016. The IDPH reports of those who died, 721 had a pre-existing medical condition. 545 of the deaths occurred at long-term care facilities. There are currently 293 COVID-19 patients hospitalized across the state, which is six less than Thursday. IDPH also listed 81 patients in intensive care, eight less than Thursday. 43 people were admitted to hospitals across the state, and 32 patients were on a ventilator. Here in western and southwest Iowa, three less people were hospitalized for a total of 14. Six are in an ICU. One was admitted to an area hospital yesterday. And there was no one on a ventilator, according to the latest report. Now, there are coronavirus outbreaks in 34 of Iowa's long-term care facilities, and the IDPH reported 1,006 positive cases, along with 606 recoveries from within those facilities. We'll get some updated numbers for you this morning at 10 o'clock. Well, Governor Kim Reynolds says the state website that lists COVID-19 data is a work in progress, and that a glitch reported recent positive test results as having been confirmed weeks and sometimes months ago has been addressed.
The reporting issue occurred due to an effort to avoid duplicating test results for individuals who tested multiple times.
And, for example, nurses are frequently tested, and the governor revealed she's been tested 10 times. The state's medical director became aware of the discrepancy in reporting some positive results at the end of July, shortly after the governor announced the website's data would determine if a district would be allowed to switch students to online instruction. Dr. Caitlin Padotti, the state medical director, acknowledged Thursday during the governor's news conference that the glitch, in her words, wasn't ideal.
I know that this is hard, but as we move through this response, we continue to look at our processes, our tools, and the information we have available. And so it does mean that we have to make adjustments. It means that we have to be flexible.
The governor told reporters she was not made aware of the inaccurate data until last week. Early this week, a nurse practitioner in Iowa City alerted various media outlets that she'd received an email from the Department of Public Health to confirm discrepancies on the website.
So I do want to thank Iowans who use the data that we provide, who dig into it and raise questions when they have them. We continue to encourage that. It helps us constantly improve the data.
The governor told reporters 79 counties saw a decline and 20 counties saw an increase in positivity rates. The positivity rate is the measure of the percentage of tests that are positive. The governor said the Iowa overall positivity rate during the pandemic held steady at 9.4% as the website updates were being made. The White House Coronavirus Task Force is recommending that Iowa officials order bars to close in certain areas of the state and establish face mask mandates in more than a dozen of the state's cities. State Medical Director Dr. Caitlin Padotti met privately last week with Dr. Deborah Birx, a key advisor on the White House task force.
We shared with her, our testing and some of the information and trends that we're seeing, some of the ways that Iowa functions, right? Because each state might have a slightly different public health system, either local or centralized.
This spring, Governor Reynolds issued tougher restrictions in counties where COVID case counts were higher, but her existing orders are statewide in scope, and she has resisted calls to let local governments enact face mask mandates. Reynolds will issue an updated public health emergency proclamation today. A spokesman for the governor said it will mainly extend current regulatory relief and maintain existing guidelines for businesses like bars, restaurants, and hair salons. Dr. Badotti said that she has not seen an updated draft of the proclamation.
Unfortunately, like other states, we have seen a young, adult population reporting social interactions. And, we do want to emphasize that we need people to follow the recommendations that we're providing. If people were to follow those recommendations, you really take away the ability for that virus to move between people.
The pandemic-related proclamation the governor signed July 24th frequently mentions the need for social distancing, enhanced hygiene, and other public health measures in all sorts of settings, but it directly mentions requiring face coverings just once, and that is for gamblers playing poker, blackjack, or roulette at a state-licensed casino. Elsewhere in the news, members of the Audubon School Board met Monday, the first day of the new school year for students, and Superintendent Eric Traeger said yesterday that they reviewed various policies during that meeting, as is normal every 5 years. They also reviewed newer policies, especially those pertaining to the pandemic.
I guess most notably, we approved a policy that gives me the authority to temporarily close school if I deem that that is the safest thing for students and staff. And then I need to immediately convene a special meeting of the board, so within 48 hours, to vote on that decision.
Traeger said the Audubon School Board Monday also discussed their building project and were not surprised to learn that it was coming in over budget during the budget review.
At this point in the process, as you're doing the design and development, there's not a lot of detail to get those budget numbers kind of honed in where they need to be, but now we're looking at making sure that we have all those details in place and then make sure that we, can be nimble on bid day so that if we come in over what we can afford to spend, that we have things that we can, that are alternates that we can choose not to do.
Traeger said they're looking to go out for bids in November with the opening of bids on December 8th. The projects, as you may recall, are with regard to renovations to the middle school and high school buildings.
All the mechanicals, all the HVAC, the plumbing, the electrical, all of our security systems will be either updated or replaced. And then, paint, ceilings, floors, dress the old 1965 building up.
He said also the asbestos removal process was mostly completed prior to the start of the school, with the exception of a few punch items, and that's in preparation for the next summer renovation project. Traeger said with regard to fall sports, the Western Iowa Conference issued some guidance with regard to tickets and social distancing. The changes affect primarily volleyball.
We are limiting spectators at volleyball. Every player will have 4 tickets that they can give to whomever they choose. And that will allow us to social distance in our gyms in the conference. That's unfortunate that we have to do that. But since it's indoors, we feel like that's the safest thing that we're going to be able to do. Football, we're not limiting attendance, but we are opening our track up so the spectators can use the entire track area to spread out and social distance.
And he said the district is looking at live streaming system, but it's doubtful that it'll be up and running in time for the first game. Eric Traeger said that it was wonderful to see students back in the classroom on Monday, and everyone seemed to be thrilled to get back to normal as much as possible, given the pandemic situation.
This is my 35th year in education, and we always kind of look forward to seeing our kids again that first day of school, but it was especially awesome this year. I know that word gets overused a little bit, but it really was. It was good to see kids in the hallways. I think they were really happy to be back. Just great to have kids back, and we know this is where they need to be. We are very pleased to be up and running.
The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.